folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I am again today sitting in from Ellie Searsden with Financial Survival. She is still taking a little trip. She'll be back, I think, she'll be back probably on the air on the 20th, but she's deserved a long time off the air. She's worked so hard. And I know y'all appreciate her. I know because I had a phone call today, for example, from a dear friend up in North named George, and he said when she gets back, he's going to tell her that he was glad that she gave up a singing career to sell gold and silver. But anyway, she has people that love her, and we all do. She's a good, good woman, so she's taking a much-deserved vacation. And it's just me for a while today, and I hope you're going to stand there for another hour. I'll be back with you again next week, but tomorrow, of course, will be Dave Allen again. And I listen to Dave on the broadcast. He does such a good job with finances. I try to do what I can, but I can't do what those folks do. They're an expert on that. I try to share what I can and news as I see it, for whatever that's worth. But anyway, let's get started with the metals report. Gold was $1,550.81, up $5.31. Some of y'all may not know this, but gold very temporarily and very quickly hit a record high of $2,000 an ounce because of the chance of war. Now listen to me. Eventually, we're going to have an outbreak. Gold went up almost $500 in a matter of minutes. Now, come back down. It did. But can you see what's going to happen if there's a panic? What's going to happen with metal prices? When the markets are dropping like rocks, gold and silver are going to go through the roof. Understand that. So gold went up to a record high for just a few minutes. At 2,000. That's down 1,550.81, up 531. Silver was down a penny, 1790. Platinum was up 1607 at 968.01. Palladium still doing well, up 2727 to 2108.45. So metals are the place to get into when you can, as quick as you can. That's all I can say. The Dow was also up there, though. Dow was up 192 points at 28937. The Nasdaq up 66 points at 91.95. S&P up 1911 at 32.73. And oil was actually down 0.15% to 59.63. So because we didn't go to war, obviously, the price of oil will come back down. And that's a good thing for everybody out there that has an automobile, or especially over-the-road truckers who are in business for themselves or a trucking office. That should save me a few dollars on fuel, so that's a good thing. The price of fuel has come back down and maybe stabilized for a while. We'll see what happens. I don't know. You know, as you know, Trump decided not to retaliate because of a missile being shot on the U.S. bases. He decided that he was not going to retaliate with the military force. He was just going to call for tougher sanctions on Iran. And he wants to go do some peace talks with Iran. And I hope that comes from common sense and not more control from outside forces. I do. He said these powerful sanctions will remain until Iran changes behavior. So we'll see. We'll pray that it works out that way. And it does bring some stability to the whole world, but especially the Middle East. And of course, he said we should be grateful that no one was harmed in the Iraq attacks, American or otherwise. And that's true. And I have to wonder, though, also, did Iran accomplish what it wanted to do? Did it really hit us the way it wanted to? Did they think they did enough damage to us? Is that all they got? You follow what I'm saying? That the best thing to do is lob in 12, 15 missiles in and not do hardly any damage at all? Is that what Iran has to offer? If it is, there's not much to fear, I wouldn't think. So I don't know. These are questions you have to ask yourself. I just know it seems like they were so angry the way they were talking by the millions hollering, you know, to destroy America, death to America. Even the parliament was. I expected more. I'm glad it wasn't any more. People say, "Well, are you glad it was, wasn't any more? Are you glad it wasn't more or not?" No, yeah, I'm very glad it wasn't worse than what it was. I truly am. But I expected more from the anger we saw coming in from the people of Iran. I thought we would see a lot more retaliation than that. But it is what it is. And Trump says he's going to let it slide and we'll go back to sanctions. I guess that means everything's still status quo. Again, what happened with the markets? With why he was hit and who hit the general? I really don't know. I have no idea for sure. I don't think it was all. I don't think that the reason we hit him was all up front. I do believe this was another contrived false flag, perhaps. But thankfully, it's de-escalated now for a while. We'll see what happens next. And you probably also saw that the stocks jumped an all-time high also after Trump's Iran speech. For a brief period of time, stocks all over the world basically went higher because we're not going to war. Now, then amazing gold and silver skyrocketed because we might be going to war, and the markets went up after they decided there wasn't any war. So, I mean, all this is good, but it's just amazing how quickly things can change if the right predicament happens. Now, let those out there who are in paper think about this. If the market drops because of fear of war, that's going to affect your income. It's going to affect your income. If gold and silver goes up because of war, don't you think you need at least some precious metals to support what could happen if and when we go, not if, but when we go to war? Doesn't it make sense to have some backup for your paper assets? I'm not saying, nobody tells you to put all your funds into silver or into precious metals, but for a backup, do something. Melody's number, by the way, is 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And of course, I'm sure you're hearing the news now. They're just saying that it's highly likely that Iran downed their Ukrainian jet line. I'm going to read this to you. Now, it's supposed to be an accident, but U.S. officials said Thursday it was highly likely that an Iranian anti-aircraft missile downed the Ukrainian jetliner late Tuesday, killing all 176 people on board. They suggested it could well have been a mistake. The crash came just a few hours after an Iran launched a ballistic attack against Iraqi military bases housing U.S. troops amid a confrontation with Washington over the U.S. drone strike that killed an Iranian Revolutionary Guard general. Two U.S. officials, speaking on the conditions of anonymity to discuss the sensitive intelligence, said they had no certain knowledge of an Iranian intent, but they said the airliner could have been mistaken for a threat. And from what you can hear on the news, if the news is telling the truth about how it disappeared off screen all of a sudden, the different things, that's a good possibility that it was accidentally shot down. It's possible. Anything's possible. But to disappear off screen like that, no warnings, no nothing. Nothing coming from the airliners to the bases. It makes you wonder, could it happen? I have to wonder though. They had to point the missile at it to get it. Was it an accidental shot? Did they just pull the trigger without thinking before they knew what it was? These are things that go through your mind when you hear these reports. I don't hear it questioned too much on the news media. But shooting something down by accident, it's like a hunting accident. If somebody gets shot, somebody had to point the gun that direction. The bullet didn't curve that way. Somebody had to point in direction and pull the trigger. Now, maybe an accident, that's true. But somebody had to point in that direction. And somebody had to pull the trigger. These are all thoughts that go through my mind when you hear these things. And maybe I'm just getting a bit cynical in my old age. I question everything I hear on the news, especially on the mass news media. I wonder what they're saying behind the scenes, knowing that the media has been trained to lie. A lot of folks don't know this, folks, but for at least 50 years now, the media has said itself that it's trained to localize news, keep it in certain areas, don't let it spread too far, and to change stories to match what they're told to match from their handlers, so to speak. So you have to wonder what part of that's true and what part of it isn't. It is what it is. And now, you know, for how many months, how long was it we heard about Russiagate? How many months did we go on and on about Trump and Russia? 2.5 years or so? and all of a sudden we're going to go to impeachment. That's been on the news steadily for how many months, and all of a sudden it's kind of disappeared, hadn't it? Oh, every now and then they mention impeachment, but the fury over this, the frenzy over this has all of a sudden got kind of quiet. What happened? We all hear, well, Pelosi's not going to release the articles to the Senate, and the Senate's, well, what happened? Senate Democrats begin breaking with Nancy Pelosi on articles of impeachment. Even the Democrats in the Senate are getting fed up. Increasingly impatient Senate Democrats have started speaking up about their desire for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to turn over impeachment articles. Senator Joe Manchin, that's our senator here from West Virginia, told Politico that House Democrats should move on and send the articles to the Senate. I think the trial needs to start. I really do. I can't tell the House how to do their business. I would never try to tell Speaker Pelosi, let us do what we have to do over here, the red state Democrat told a Washington Post reporter. So, yeah, it's what happened? They had him nailed, buddy. They were going to take him out. They were going to take it to the Senate, and knowing they're probably going to lose. But now they want to even provide the evidence? What is this? Is this on purpose to keep another chaotic state of mind going in this country? What's going on behind the scenes you're trying to hide? Could this Iranian incident be another smoke and mirrors tactic to keep our minds off of things that they don't want to know? Is it possible? Is it possible they're trying to hide economic news from us? They're trying to keep us entertained with things that are, I'm not saying not important, but they don't let us see the real news behind the scenes that could actually change the people in this country and make them even panic a little bit. Is that possible? Of course it's possible. And in most cases, it's highly likely. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know. I'm sure somebody does, but most of the masses, like you and I, just see what we're told on the news and alternative media. What's really going on behind the scenes, I really don't know. But I do know there's been so many strong flare-ups, I guess you could say, with Trump and his administration ever since he's been in office. That makes you wonder, what are they trying to hide? When they're screaming about impeachment and Russiagate and Iran, when they're screaming about those things, people all up in arms about these things, what is it behind the scenes that we don't know? That's what always concerns me. I do know that behind the scenes, Trump re-signed the Patriot Act back into law. You do know it's supposed to come to an end after many years, right? With all this going on, this rigmarole going on, Trump did re-sign the Patriot Act back into law again that George Bush brought in on three different levels when he's in office. You know, the so-called Christian president, they're going to stand for freedom and fight for freedom all over the world. The hypocrite. This is the way it is. So what else is going on behind the scenes that they don't want us to see? These are sincere questions that I'm asking with a sincere spirit and meaning to know, wanting to know what really is happening. One thing is happening that we don't hear nothing, at least I haven't heard anything on ABC or CBS or any of that. Maybe you have, I haven't. I monitor the world news because I want to hear what they have to say. Federal Reserve admits, now pay attention folks, it pumped more than $6 trillion to Wall Street in recent 6-week period. $6 trillion in 6 weeks. $1 trillion a week pumped into Wall Street. Why would they do that? Don't you see they've kept the markets bloated and looking like they're growing when they're really not? The article says, if the Federal Reserve was looking for a media lockdown on news about the trillions of dollars in cumulative repo loans it has funneled quietly to Wall Street's trading houses since September 17th of last year, it could not have found a better cloud cover than Donald Trump. First impeachment proceedings bumped the Fed's money spigot from newspaper headlines, then this past Friday as the Fed released its December meeting minutes at 2 o'clock p.m. with its highly anticipated plans to be announced for the future of the vast money giveaway to Wall Street. The news was ignored as the media scrambled over to cover Trump's termination of General Qasem Soleimani, the head of Iran's Quds Force, which raised the immediate specter of a retaliatory strike against the U.S. by Iran. Now, last Friday, they were going to the feds were going to bring forth their report. They were going to tell us what's going on, and all of a sudden, that's bumped off the frontline page because we were going to war. Strange, isn't it? General Qasem Soleimani, the head of Iran's Quds Force, which raised the media specter. Anyway, the Fed's minutes revealed that after multiple expansions of this fast money spigot, which was previously set to lapse in January after getting the Wall Street trading houses through the year-end money crunch, instead it may be extended through April. The manager also discussed expectations to gradually transition away from active repo operations next year as Treasury bills purchases supply a larger base of reserves. The calendar of repo operations starting in mid-January could reflect a gradual reduction in the active repo operations. The manager indicated that some repos might be needed at least through April, when tax payments will sharply reduce reserve levels. Corporate and individual tax payments occur every April. The Fed offers no explanation as to why this April is different and requires a multi-trillion-dollar money spigot from the Fed. The Fed's minutes also acknowledge that its most recent actions have tallied up to roughly $215 billion per day. That number is so big that you and I can't even comprehend it. $215 million per day flowing to the trading houses on Wall Street. There were 29 business days between the last Federal Open Market Committee meeting and the last Fed minutes, meaning that approximately $6.23 trillion in cumulative loans to Wall Street trading houses has been made in that short span of time. Folks, think about that. In 6 weeks, in order to keep the market flowing, they put in over $6 trillion. $6 trillion. And you really think that the markets are going to stand, that we're not going to see hyperinflation, that everything's going to stay the same, it's going to be sweet right on through? Don't you know that they had to do that in order for Trump to maintain his likability? It's really a sad state of affairs. But, you know, we can talk about your blue in the face. Until someone with enough power, we'll say authority, brings up to the people and brings up to the government to make them answerable to it, nothing's going to happen. And I don't see that happening, do you? When you think that people that say they're for Americans and they're all for our country would be thrilled to expose this to the people and say, look what they're doing to you? Obviously not. Back to the break, folks. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back. And again, this is Pastor Butch Paul sending from Ellie Seashore, where she's taking a little time off and enjoying herself, and I hope she's relaxing, sitting in a jacuzzi somewhere and enjoying what she's doing. I really do. You know, it's when you have time, and you certainly have earned, she's earned the time, it's nice to be able to do that. I'm glad she can do that. I really am. I miss her here. I do. She's fun to work with, but I'm glad she decided to take some time off. Now, if you have been looking for a job, you know, everybody laughs at fast food restaurants and, well, they don't pay nothing, they don't know. Well, that really isn't true. It isn't true. A lot of people make a good living working at fast food. They build their way up through the ranks, so to speak, at the manager. And now Taco Bell, now I'm not making this up, said that they're going to pay some of their managers $100,000 a year. Now tell me there's no money in fast food. The six-figure sum is not being offered as a haute cuisine location with culinary accolades, but at fast food chain Taco Bell. Amid an increasingly tough U.S. labor market, the company is betting a higher salary will help it attract workers and keep them on the team. The Yum! Brand's own chain will test the higher salary in select restaurants in the U.S., Midwest, and Northeast. It will also try a new role for employees who want leadership experience but don't want to be in the management position. Current salaries for general managers, now folks, this isn't bad. Listen to this. Current salaries for general managers at company-owned Taco Bell stores between $50,000 and $80,000 a year. That's not bad money at all. Much more than a lot of people make in this country. So, yeah, you have to start probably minimum wage. But see, it goes to show that if you work and are willing to apply yourself, even in fast food, you can make a decent living. The reason they have trouble finding workers is because many young people today actually don't want to do a lot of work. And when you see the quality, and I'm saying this humbly and politely, when you see the quality of young people that we're putting out of these public hellholes we call schools, that can't even write in cursive, they no longer teach cursive writing, can't spell because they're on the cell phone all the time, they don't spell the words out, they certainly cannot add and subtract, they can't read it well enough to even do a written menu, they have to go by pictures. When we see the quality that they were putting out to work at these restaurants or anywhere else, it's little wonder they're hurting for help. No, that wasn't done by accident. That was that Charlotte Isabey, I've known for years, lives up, I think, in Massachusetts. Taught school for years. Matter of fact, she worked with Reagan in the Department of Education when he was president. And she wrote a book entitled "The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America." Probably y'all have had this experience where you walk into a restaurant or a gas station, whatever, and the power's off and the register's not working. You walk in, you pay for some gas, and you got change coming back, and the clerk cannot tell you how much they're back in change. You can tell them, but then they got to figure out somebody else can verify what you said is true. This is the quality of education we're giving our children today in America. And maybe Taco Bell thinks if they pay more, they'll find someone who's educated enough to actually do the job. that's willing to take the time to learn it anyway. I don't know. But it's a sad situation when a country can't even bring forth a group of young people that can count change after a sale. That's just the way it is. And California has just made another first. Good old California. California has had a lot of firsts, and most of them not good. But California would become the first state in the nation to launch its own prescription drug label under a plan proposed by Governor Gavin Newsom that aims to use governmental purchasing power to control rising health care costs. Now, let's dissect that a second. They're going to use governmental purchasing power and get involved in the drug business and have their own brand. What could go wrong with that? And another question. Where does the government get its purchasing power from? Do the people that work in the government produce enough money on their own that they can buy these things and the taxpayer doesn't have to worry about it? Or does this come off the taxpayer that's already burdened beyond belief in most areas? You tell me. I mean, think about that, man, okay? The government's going to use its purchasing power, which comes from who? The citizens of California. That's who. The plan, which the Democrats said will be part of a new budget proposal, will allow California to contract with generic drug manufacturers to make the medicines available for sale to all Californians, according to a summary released by his administration. Few details were provided about how the plan would work, what kind of drugs it would produce, how much it would cost to enact, or how much it might save the state. Things that are likely to be studied in more depth as the debate over the state budget begins in the coming months. But with a population of 40 million, nearly one in three of whom use the state's Medicaid program for low-income people, Mr. Newsom is betting that California's purchasing power can help offer drugs at a lower price than they are offered commercially. I understand the concept, but nothing scared me more than what Reagan used to say, the most dangerous words in America: I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Those are very deadly, dangerous words. California is one of the most communist, liberal, perverted, screwed up locations in the world. And people are leaving it by the hundreds of thousands to get up on this insanity. Yet they go further and further into debt. They're already furnishing free medicine for illegals. They have sanctuary cities and sanctuary state. And the taxpayers have to pay for the medicine for the illegals already. Please let that sink in. How long before the burden becomes too great to bear? And when you think that the politicians will know this, I would say a lot of them do. But part of the plan is, I think, to destroy the economic base of this society. If they destroy the economic base and control the people economically, they control the people. And we hear all the time about, of course, businesses try to cut back on overhead and back on employees. And so now Walmart's going to do something. Welcome to Walmart. Walmart, where the robot will grab your groceries. Interesting article, and I think an interesting concept. But anyway, in the back room of Walmart, a store in Salem, New Hampshire, is a floor-to-ceiling robotic system that the country's largest retailer hopes will help it sell more groceries online. Floor-to-ceiling robotic system. Wow, that's going to be going up and down the aisles. I wonder who that could hurt. Anyway, workers stand on platforms in front of screens assembling online orders of milk, cereal, and toilet paper from the hawking automated system. Wheeled robots carrying small baskets move along metal tracks to collect these items. They are bagged for pickup later by shoppers or delivery to homes. Walmart is one of the several grocers, including Albertsons Company and Kroger Company, that are using automation to improve efficiency in a fast-growing but costly business that comes with a range of logistical challenges. The backroom robots could help Walmart cut labor costs and fill orders faster and more accurately. It also could address another problem, unclogging aisles that these days can get crowded with clerks picking products for online orders. A store worker can collect around 80 products from store shelves an hour. Estimated John Lurt, founder and chief executive of Alert Innovation, the startup that has worked with Walmart to design the system dubbed Alphabot. It is designed to collect, this new computer, folks, can do 800 products an hour per workstation, operated by a single individual, Mr. Lurt said. Workers stock the 24-foot high machine each day with their products most often ordered online, including refrigerated and frozen foods. Fresh produce will still be handpicked by store aisles. So from 80 to 800 items an hour, that is quite an improvement, I would say. And in the long run, it's probably going to save a lot of money. It may cost a bit to set it up, I'm sure. But in the long run, it's probably save the employers a lot of money and maybe a lot of downtime, and certainly no sick pay, no overtime, no Social Security taxes, nothing like that. I mean, no compensation taxes to pay. So you can see that it's an attractive idea to bring forth these robots to do these jobs. Now, here's a problem, that and leave it up to the government to figure this out. They figured it out finally. The robot tax debate heats up. Some believe that businesses should pay up when they replace workers with machines. Now, folks, listen to this. The government will always get its cut. Every time you hear about a tax cut somewhere, they raise it and double it somewhere else. In all likelihood, your coworkers pay taxes. But what happens if your boss replaces them with sophisticated software or dexterous machines, ones that perform the same task for less money, at least over a long run, and continue and contribute nothing to payroll taxes? One seemingly flip answer is starting to gain some attention. Just tax the robots. Bill Gates has called for a robot tax, and New York Mayor Bill de Blasio detailed a plan for one in a short-lived presidential campaign. If the future means far fewer workers and far more machines, tax revenue could drop, and the daily rhythms of steady employment could become erratic. Oh, we can't have taxes drop, folks. My goodness, what would happen? A robot tax could serve multiple purposes, slowing job-destroying automation while raising a revenue to supplement shrinking taxes paid by human workers. It could take a few different forms. Lawmakers could limit or slow down deductions for businesses that replace humans with robots, or they could hit businesses with levies equivalent to the payroll taxes paid by employers and employees. For the moment, massive job losses from automation and artificial intelligence are largely theoretical worry, but tax economists and lawyers are thinking through the economic circumstances in which robot taxes might make sense, the tricky legal decisions and definitions needed to implement them. Wow. Wow. Man, you have to give our servants credit for ingenuity, I guess you could say, on how to continue taxing the whatever it's producing. It's amazing. It is amazing. And government grows every day in leaps and bounds everywhere. They say they cut, but do they cut? Of course not. They can't cut. They have to have the revenue to continue feed themselves. Remember, folks, the government is a leech. Government is a leech as a whole. It is a leech that does not produce anything. Now, some are servants and some actually do serve purposes. But much of the so-called government that we have today are leeches on a society that is having a more difficult time every day paying the dues that they expect from us to feed this leech for less and less quality service and more idiotic ideas. That's what government's become. And on top of that, you wonder too, we have murdered conservatively 100 million unborn babies that would have been paying taxes right now. I mean, we'll be paying income taxes and Social Security taxes and Medicare taxes, Medicaid taxes. They would have been paying and contributing to the economy enough that perhaps we wouldn't have been so broken in the Social Security and other not benefits, that's actually not even titles. So they are promises made to us over the years that we won't be broke. But when you murder the population, it stands to reason that less people to tax and less money coming in, so they got to increase it on us. The U.S. birth rate continues dropping in 42 states. Not only do we kill our children, birth rates are dropping in 42 states. And that, again, is a declining population that already cannot feed the elderly, take care of the elderly. Why do you think folks are discussing so many different scenarios for the old folks, of which I are one now, 71 years old? Why do you think they're discussing, I have talked about euthanasia? Why do you think talking about cutting off medical health for people that they know that can never get any better? They don't have the revenue to support what they need to do to keep this thing moving like they promised and planned for years. So it's about to come around and come down to bite those of us who put our trust in man. And the Bible says, Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man who puts his trust in man. That makes flesh his strength, that makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. We took their eyes off our provider, the God who created us, and put it on man to tax and care for us. And now we're losing that also. And discussion to cut population, especially older population, is being discussed every day, folks, behind closed doors. And eventually, when things get bad enough, you will be hearing more about how do we save money that we're wasting on elderly people who are not going to get any better. You mark my words, I'd say a lot of y'all going to live to see it. Maybe I won't. A lot of you will. So it's been discussed already. How long before it comes to fruition? Only God knows, but it's coming. 18 Republican governors asked for more refugees in their states. Introducing the Friday night Tucker Carlson segment, the Fox News host recalled when Republican leaders once made a big show of opposing Obama's administration refugee policy and supposedly got their wish when President Donald Trump won the election in 2016 and signed an executive order allowing cities and states to opt out of refugee settlement. You know, that it really is hypocritical, is not? Republicans didn't want Obama's plan. They said, and Trump said, we'll make it so you don't have to take him. Now we want more. And by the way, West Virginia is one of the states who asked for more. West Virginia, the poorest state in the country, wants more refugees. Think about that. It says, however, for some reason, no Republican governors are taking advantage of that, Carlson said, noting that 18 GOP governors so far have explicitly requested that more refugees be sent to the states. Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Massachusetts, Missouri, Nebraska, and West Virginia are some of them. How are we going to feed them, people? Tell me that. Just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All righty, folks, we are back, and I tell you what, this program goes by so quickly. It's just amazing how fast it goes. I was talking to Todd during the break that I still can't get over the fact that a state like us is so poor, we can't even give the raises to the people they promised, but the governor wants more refugees to come in and eat off our funds. Tell me how that works. Please, somebody explain that to me. I can't afford to feed my own children, so send me 10 more. That doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. I just don't see that. But back to good old California. California considered a statewide ban on gas-powered garden tools. Now, that's going to save the world. You know that, but that's going to save the world. If you have any gas-powered gardening tools, you may be forced to give them up soon. California is considering a statewide ban on the equipment. Oh, my. At least 60 cities in California have some kind of ban on gas-powered garden tools, but now state regulators, I like that word, regulators, are concerned about the impacts these tools could be having on the environment. According to California Air Resources Board, running a gas-powered lawnmower for an hour will produce the same amount of air pollution as a Toyota Camry driving from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. Really? How do you figure? I don't know. But that makes less sense by anything else that they're doing. It really does. It makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, why shouldn't they make a ban on gas-powered lawnmowers, for goodness sake? I mean, it makes sense to me that just outlaw everything because you never know. I mean, that's why they want to get rid of cows because they pass gas and they're destroying the environment. And I raise a few head of cattle here in the hollow where I live in West Virginia, so maybe I should get rid of the cows and quit raising cows and get rid of the dog because I'm sure he passes gas too. And maybe the wife too. I mean, you know, get rid of all these things. Just an idea. I'm just trying to help. But on the other side of the coin, you got to hear this. We just heard that California might try to outlaw gas-powered lawn mowers and outside equipment. But in Glacier National Park, they have quietly removed signs that said, it's gone by 2020. Let me read this to you. It's amazing. May 30th, 2019, St. Mary, Montana, officials at Glacier National Park have begun quietly removing and altering signs and government literature which told visitors that the park's glaciers were all expected to disappear by either 2020 or 2030. Well, 2020 is here, folks, anyway. In recent years, the National Park Service prominently featured brochures, signs, and films which boldly proclaimed that all the glaciers at GNP were melting away rapidly. But now officials at GNP seem to be scrambling to hide or replace their previous historical claims while avoiding any notice to the public that the claims were inaccurate. Now listen to that. They're quietly scrambling to hide or replace their previous historical claims while avoiding any notice to the public that the claims were inaccurate. Teams from Lysander Spooner University visiting the park each September, have noted that GMP's most famous glaciers, such as the Grimmel Glacier and the Jackson Glacier, appear to have been growing, not shrinking, since about 2010. The Jackson Glacier, easily seen from the Going to the Sun's Highway, may have grown as much as 25% or more over the past decade. Oh, wow, that global warming sure is messing things up. Folks, this is remarkable. This is stupendous. This is insane. How long before people realize that they are absolutely caused a panic over nothing in order to control us so we can't even mow our grass with a gas-powered lawnmower? And you heard me just tell you that they said they tried to get rid of these signs as inconspicuously as possible so that people will not know they're missing. So they wanted to admit that they were wrong. The glaciers aren't disappearing. They're growing. Just like they are in North Pole. Yeah, North Pole's growing. South Pole is too. The other polar bears aren't drowning. They have more ice than they have in generations. So how in the name of goodness why do we keep believing these lies? One of the reasons is, obviously, they don't put the truth out. As I said, the news media is trained to lie. These people are trained to lie. And maybe some of them may report it naively, and they really think tell the truth. But as a whole, they've been trained to lie. They're talking heads. They're well-paid talking heads. You ever notice that you don't see too many ugly reporters, do you? Not men or women, either one. Most women on report the news are very pretty, attractive ladies. And most of the men, I guess you could say, are handsome men. And people don't mind looking at them because they're good to look at. But they also know how to pitch their voice and when to lower their voice and how to approach different topics. You ever notice how they go something really serious? I mean, just really something really, some kind of catastrophe? And then next breath, laugh over something else on the news? Do you think that's not by design? These people are trained. They're trained. Please believe me, they're trained. They know how to mesmerize people. And they gain the trust of people, like Walter Cronkite did for years, and other reporters gained the trust of the people. At one time, Cronkite was the most trusted man in the United States. Wow. And of course, you've been hearing what's going on with Virginia. And by the way, this program again is Financial Survival. I don't forget to tell you that. And it's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Melly Seastrom, Discount Gold and Silver, would love to talk to you about protecting your future. Call her, but she won't be there today, but call and talk to Carla. Tell her I sent you over and give her a hard time while you're at it. 800-375-4188. I'm not good, folks, at bringing commercials. I'm not. When I get wound up, I like to share things. In my own program, I forget to do commercials. And I'm sorry about that. I really am not good at that. Never was. There was much at raising money. I just try to give what I can to the people I think want to hear it. 800-375-4188. Now back to Virginia. Virginia is still proposing, apparently, very strict gun control laws. The legislature started meeting, I think, yesterday. We'll see what happens. On the 20th this month, that's on a Monday, there will be probably thousands of people in Richmond protesting what the state's trying to do in Virginia by trying to seize guns and outlaw guns. They're asking everyone that can to come to the rally in Richmond, Virginia. Now, this is the state capital of Virginia. And to come armed. Come packing. You say, well, that's insane. Well, it could be. I'm not saying that. And, you know, who knows what could happen. But they want them to come armed. They want them to come in and show what their rights are, what their duties are to defend themselves. Our ministry, called Decision Ministry, will have a reporter on the ground, live streaming what's happened. You can watch your report, by the way, on PastorButch.com on the 20th. If everything works out the way we hope it will, with technology, you never know. You can actually watch what's happening in the Richmond area by going to PastorButch.com. On Monday night at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern on our broadcast, I'll be covering what's happening in Richmond that day with the two reporters that will be down there. But Virginia vows to shut down all gun ranges not owned by the state. Wow. Virginia says just went full-blown communist. If it wasn't bad enough watching the action unfold surrounding unconstitutional gun laws and the militias being formed to fight against them, now it seems like Virginia is trying to pull yet another move. They want to shut down every gun range in the state that isn't owned by the government. According to House Bill 567, any indoor shooting range will be prohibited by law unless it was inside of a building owned by the state. Any business owners who decide to defy the law could be faced up to a $100,000 fine and potential civil penalties. This could get out of hand, no doubt. The 20th makes me a little bit nervous to know that what could happen on the 20th. When you have hundreds of thousands of armed men there, probably on both sides, who knows what could happen? But I caution all that are going to be down there. If you're going to Virginia, you live in Virginia, you're going to be there in Richmond, good for you. But be careful that someone doesn't instigate a problem. Be very cautious. We may avoid the war with Iran. I don't want to see civil war in America. I don't think you do either. And by the way, China, more news, different topic. China is hitting some financial problems, actually. They really are. It says soaring pork prices keep China's inflation at seven-year high. Soaring pork prices that nearly doubled in December over a year ago kept inflation at a seven-year high despite government efforts to ease meat shortages caused by disease outbreak, official data showed Thursday. Surging inflation adds to challenges for communist leaders who are trying to shore up slowing economic growth and resolve a tariff war with Washington. The price of pork rose 97% over a year earlier, despite increased profits or imports of China's stable meat and the release of thousands of tons from government stockpiles. Food prices rose 17.4%, and overall consumer inflation 4.5%, well above the ruling Communist Party's target of 3%. That matched inflation the highest since 2012. So pork prices, their number one meat, rose almost 100% in 1 year. No, folks. Okay, we got a caller. Who we got? All right, let's talk to Frank in North Carolina. Frank, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, thanks much. You're talking about the melting glaciers earlier and everything, and they're pushing this agenda.
Yes.
And it's all about control. It's terrible what's going on in Australia with all these fires, and they keep saying it's because of the heat,
That was my next topic. Go ahead.
But here's the thing. I'm hearing, and I don't know if this is going out at all in the mainstream news, and if it is at all, I think they're downplaying it. They're making hundreds of arrests of people starting fires, and I'm thinking, I'm seeing little Greta Thunbergs that are willing to burn down a whole freaking nation in order to make a point and try and push their agenda.
Well, obviously that could be very true, because I just read to you in Montana, they snuck up the signs and said the glaciers are going to be going there, and they said they wouldn't let nobody know they're actually growing. Of course they'd do that. These people will do anything. They'll burn down the forest in the Amazon. You know that too. They'll do anything to cause problems, to control these people. And this little Greta idiot is, and I have no doubt that people like her are doing that. No doubt.
Hey, I want to make a quick correction, and then I'll hang up. Appreciate it. I think when I called in Tuesday afternoon when you were on, I had mentioned that there was this food packing dynasty, I guess canned foods and whatnot. I think I misspoke. It's Armour, ARMOUR.
Yes, Armour.
Foods, but I remember it. But yeah, I think I might have said Arm and Hammer or something. And
Arm and Hammer, you did. But okay,
anyway,
I think
it's located in Kansas City, Missouri, or someplace like that. But it's huge. It's an old, and it's a Jewish family that owns it, and that's the family that Barack Obama's mother comes out of. So she's Jewish, which makes him Jewish. The whole thing about him being a Muslim, I think that was just a ruse. I mean,
Go ahead.
Joan Rivers said, shortly before she died, she said, well, look, everybody knows, everybody in Hollywood, we all know that Michelle is a guy. And, you know, Rahm Emanuel, yeah. who was former IDF, he was the chief of staff for Obama. He was gay. Now, I've talked to people that were in school with Obama, you know, back in the 70s or whenever. They said he had no interest in girls whatsoever.
Years ago, he interviewed a guy who was one of his lovers in school, and he ended up being dead about a month later.
I used to hear him on your show.
One of his lovers. But anyway, yeah, this is what we all boil down to. Obama is a homosexual. He's a sodomite. He's not gay. I'm gay, but I'm not a pervert. Gay means happy, not pervert. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, good point. Anything else, Frank?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. You know, folks, it is amazing that... what do you believe? That is true. They've arrested, I think, 200 people for starting fires in Australia. I don't think the common citizen that lives in the neighborhood is going to go out and set their neighborhood on fire. I really don't. There's more to this than what meets the eye. But it's cost people, thousands of people, their homes. It's burnt like 25.5 million acres. It's killed, I forget how many, over a billion and a half animals. Why would anybody do that? People living on the beaches, trying to get out of the country, or trying to be rescued. Understand, folks, this is really happening. And not to believe that somebody could go in there and start these fires on purpose would make you really, very naive, to say the least. Of course it could happen. Chaos, folks, results from a lot of things. And, of course, it's immorality, obviously. But when chaos ensues, it affects all of our lives, whether it's in Australia or anywhere in the world. It affects us because we all live in the same planet, so to speak. And we are interlinked now in about every way possible, including economically. That's why Melody comes on every day when she's home, telling you to prepare yourself economically for what's coming in the future. I tell you the same thing, not because I sell gold and silver, I don't. But because I know what's coming, because I read the Bible. The beast system will control political matters, religious matters, and financial matters. Call her, 800-375-4188. See you next week. That's too bad.